Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, O Lord. Thank you for calling us, your children, to come and worship you. Even this morning, as we're singing songs, praying, confessing our sins, and finding assurance in your grace and your provision, thank you, Lord, for all that love that you poured upon us, O Father. Even as we open our Bibles and read your text, as we listen to your word, we pray the Lord will encourage us, lift us up, fill us with faith so that we'll continue to trust in you and put our life and dependence on you and you alone, O Father. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at a series based on meals. We are looking at the big story of the Bible to the theme of meals. And the first one, we looked at creation, how God created us, and how he gave the grains of the field and of all plants to mankind and asked them to eat. And then we saw the fall, when Adam and Eve eaten the forbidden fruit, what happened? But God's been gracious to them and said, no, one day, he's given the promise, one day the seed of the woman, the offspring of the woman, will crush the head of the serpent, and the offspring of the serpent will strike the heel of the seed of woman. So what happens? We saw that in the cross taking place when Satan tried to bring all that on Jesus, but Jesus crushed the serpent's head on the cross and came as a victor. And today when we believe in him, you know, we receive that promise in our life. And later we looked at Abraham's promise, which is extended to Abraham, where we saw through his generation, God will fulfill that promise, and how God has reaffirmed that promise to Abraham and Sarah. And last week we looked at the Passover meal, where God redeemed his people, brought them out of Egypt from the slavery to the promised land. So today we are looking at Exodus chapter 16, how God provided manna in the wilderness. How God became the provider for his people. I was thinking of put a title for the sermon. What is it? Because when people saw manna, they didn't know what it is. What is it? They came up with, what is it? And they named manna, So what is it? We're going to look at what is it today. And when we come to this part, as we're going to look at this passage, the story came to my mind. Look at, you all had this experience, and I often have this experience. Often I travel to Hamilton and other places for ministry, and imagine you're in a sedan with two doors, okay? You put all the luggages, you're traveling for 500 kilometers or something like that, and the family of five, father, mother, and three children are under the age of 10. All cramped into this, excited to go for this holidays. But what happens after a few minutes? Will the excitement stays the same way? No. You know what happens in the car. I think my kids are not, I can say this, she's too close to me, I don't have enough space here, All this luggage is coming on me. I can't lie down, And what started as a joyful, exciting trip soon becomes a grumbling, murmuring, really upsetting trip. That's what you're going to see here in Exodus chapter 16. God delivered the people of Israelites. He said, I'm going to take you to the promised land. And they saw all these miracles from the hand of God, what God has done to the people of Egypt, and brought them out of that nation, so that one day through this generation, Jesus Christ will come and will bless all the nation in the world, no matter who it is. So that whoever looks up to him will be receiving grace and mercy and forgiveness. They'll be redeemed and they'll be saved. As we look at this passage, they come from there and then they face the Red Sea. When they face the Red Sea, they grumble against, "Have you brought all the way for us to die?" And you know what God has done? He's merciful God. He parted the sea so that they can walk in between on a dry ground. The enemies were stuck in that water, and they saw that. And they praised God. They're singing songs, they're rejoicing, and they come to a place where there's a place, a desert of Shur, where 3 days they're wandering for water in the desert, they could not find water. And they come to a place called Marah, and that place, the water is bitter, and they grumble again. And God tells Moses, take the stick, put it in the water, and the water, the Marah, turned into, the bitter water turned into sweet, which is actually not the bitterness in the water, it's in the hearts of people. And then comes a place where there's a place of rest and refreshment in Elim, where there is palm trees and oases in the spring, and they're refreshed, and now the journey starts again. Whenever God gives you rest, be careful, he's going to ask you for a long journey. In the life of Elijah, we saw that. And there's the rest and comes the desert of sin, where the name has nothing to do with sin, but in that place, people sinned against God by murmuring and muttering and grumbling against God. It's been 1 month since they left Egypt. Whatever they had in their hands, everything is empty. They don't have much to eat. They're looking at the desert and their pockets. Everything is empty. The desert is dry. The promised land, they are not sure how far it is. What happens? The bitterness comes out again. Murmuring, grumbling against the Lord. You know, when we read the story, it looks like as if I'm looking at the mirror myself. You know, God has been gracious and good to us in so many ways and so many times. Yet our heart, instead of coming back in gratitude to the Lord, it grumbles against the Lord. But what God is expecting of us is to trust in him and come with thanksgiving and a heart of gratitude. And that's what we're seeing here in this place. When you look at the life of the Israelites, it says, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, there we sat around pots of meal and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. They're not only grumbling, listen to what they are saying. See, I'm not discounting what is happening there. Yes, they are hungry. It's a real physical need. The future doesn't look easy for them. Yes, they got the promise of God, but they don't know what to do because so many years of oppression, they don't know how to worship the Lord and serve him. The innate nature of man is keep coming out. And they're saying, you know, though we were slaves in Egypt, we were eating well. I felt hard to read that passage. You know, sometimes the way our mind lies to us, what they are not understanding is they were not free. They were oppressed. They were beaten, punished. The children were killed. Heavy load was placed upon them. Whenever they asked for their rights, they've been oppressed more and more. But what they are saying, oh, we had a pot full of food and meat. You're just comparing the immediate need, what they got, but they forgot about what God has done in their life. You are free. That was a great reminder for all of us this morning. We are free in Christ because he set us free. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instruction. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. God says, I will provide for my people. God had all the rights to be angry. But time and again in the scripture, what you see is he acted in the goodness of mankind. He acted in goodness for you and me with grace. You know, many preachers would have said about this, you know, the difference between mercy and grace is, mercy is something what you do not get, not getting what you deserve. Grace is what you get that you do not deserve. I deserve judgment. I deserve punishment. I deserve death. But I do not receive this because of God's mercy upon me. I do not deserve to receive His grace and love, but He poured completely upon me on the cross through His Son, Jesus Christ. His compassion, His love, and His grace. And what we see here time and again, once again what we see, instead of God getting angry, He responding to them, saying that, I'm going to feed my people. He had all the rights to judge the people. He had all the rights to, just a fraction of a second, He can wipe them out. But God has been merciful and gracious to His people. It shows, not only for us, how much we should be gracious to other people. As Christians, one of the very important things is at times when people anger you, do you respond to them in grace the way God has responded to me when I was angering Him? Many of us know in this place, I know very sure for the things that I have done, the way I disobeyed God, the way I went away from the Lord, if God hasn't chosen me, if He haven't saved me, if He haven't poured out His grace upon me, I would not be here standing. I stand here because of His grace. We all sit here and listen to the sermon because of His grace and His mercy. Time and again, it's a reminder who our God is. His goodness is, He's a God of grace. If people tell you something the other way around, be careful. Your God is a God who loves you, who cares about you, no matter what. He would love to take you back. And He says, so Moses and Aaron said to all Israelites, in the evening you will know that I was the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because He has heard your grumbling against Him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? Moses also said, you will know that it was the Lord when He gives you meat to eat in the evening, because He has heard your grumbling against Him. Who are we? You are not grumbling against us, but against the Lord. See, Moses, as a leader, instead of getting angry, one thing what he has done is he immediately noticed the focus and the evil in that place. They are not angry. They are not angering Moses and Aaron by grumbling. They're actually grumbling against the Lord. As leaders, as shepherds, as elders, we may stand here, but we are not the people who lead the church. God is the one who leads this church. God, it ultimately comes back to the Lord, who is the chief shepherd, who has called us. So we trust Him. We bring things to Him and depend on Him. Say, Lord, You do according to Your will. I would submit to You so that Your name will be glorified. And we rightly making them to focus on, it's God that you are sinning against, not against us. And he goes on to say, you know, he goes on to say that. And then Moses told Aaron, say to the Israelite community, entire community, come before the Lord, for the heart they have heard, God has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked to the, toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. You know how he acted in grace? By revealing his glory to them. As Moses was telling Aaron to go and tell the people of God, you know, God will provide in the morning. And as they're looking, they saw the glory of God appearing in the desert. I think it's a God who we are grumbling against, not only acted in grace, but revealed his glory to his people in the desert so that he can provide for his people. And he's saying here, I am the Lord your God. I'm not only the Lord who created the heavens and the earth, but I am your God. And you are my people. See, all these years, I don't know how many years, 400 years of oppression in Egypt, you would have lost track of the promises of your forefathers. People in slavery would know that. People in oppression would know that. You lose track of that. Time and again, you've been crying out generation after generation. Nothing has happened, but God knows the plan for you. But when we see that it doesn't feel like happening in front of you. And they're looking at the Egyptians who are flourishing at the time, and as they're seeing, they are worshiping the gods of the Nile and gods of many others, the creation, they don't know who their God is. God revealed himself in his glory to his people and said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, and I am your God, which is, you're my people. There are times the troubles of our life will try to take our sight away from the Lord, but I want to tell you, he is your Lord and he is your God. Come to him. Come to him and he will help you. As we come to this place, you know, the manna and the quail, God says, you know, I will give them meat. I will give them the bread. As we look at this, you know, in that part of the world, the quails, they have this migration during that time where they go and flock and they fall on people. But these are like hundreds of thousands of people. Though you can talk about natural active, but I don't think so. This has to be a completely a supernatural act of God. And this, and people, you know, researchers say this, that there's an insect in that part of the world which comes and sits on the tamarisk tree and tries to burrow, and it kind of produces sap that is like a granule which falls on the ground. And the people, Arabs, call them man, which means manna. Imagine 40 years. It's truly God's provision to his people. Because the scripture says in Nehemiah 9:15, you know, Nehemiah recalls God's provision of manna, demonstrating his continued faithfulness, saying, in their hunger, you gave them bread from heaven, and in their thirst, you brought them water from the rock. You told them to go in and take possession of the land you had sworn with uplifted hand to give them. It's a manna from heaven. You know, Psalmist says in chapter 78, verses 23 to 25, he calls his manna the bread of angels, affirming it a divine gift to his people. Yet he gave a command to the skies above and opened the doors of the heavens. He rained down manna for the people to eat. He gave them the grain of heaven. Human beings ate the bread of angels he sent them, all the food they could eat. It's God who provided supernaturally for his people in that wilderness for 40 years. And he's the same God who provides for you even today, naturally and supernaturally. Come in depending on him and trusting in him. When he tests you, He wants you to follow His instructions by trusting in Him. In times of troubles like that, instead of coming with a heart of grumbling, He wants you to come with a heart of thanksgiving. And we could see this 40 years. I can't imagine. The one who has called us is faithful. The one who started the work will finish it. Amen? Our God is a faithful God, and He is our provider. You know, when our, you know, even this morning, as Nathan was saying, our God is a prayer-answering God. Come to Him. Ask Him in prayer. As much as you read the scripture, if it doesn't change our heart to go to Him with humility and depending on Him, what is the point? Come to Him. Trust Him. He's a God who can change your situation. Because I remember many things in my life as a migrant coming to this country, starting all over again from the scratch, the pain and the troubles that you go through. You know, my visa doesn't allow me to do any other job from my previous work. Not going in detail, my wife is the only one who had an open work visa. Through her income, we survived for 5 years. I don't want to do anything against what the law says. But God provided for our family within that. There are times when we didn't have anything. I see there are somebody comes and provides for us. You might wonder how come in this country, no matter where it is, God can provide for your needs. I'm not talking about that need, but in that need, what God has done is it changes your heart. It's not about that need. It's not about that situation. But in that need, God molds you. He makes you to come in trusting Him. Small things at a time will help you to build for big things in the future. Amen? If you don't believe in small things, you will not see greater things when it comes to big challenges. Those needs are a time where God tests us so that we'll come in trusting Him. The wilderness experience may be dangerous because the Judean wilderness, the Israelite wilderness, is not like a normal place. The desert we are talking about may not be fully a sandy desert. It could be rocks. It could be filled with scorpions and snakes and some local inhabited animals and birds. It's not a good place to be. But God protected and provided for them. He wants them to trust Him. Now, one thing comes to my mind is, it has a relation with Psalm chapter 23, where, you know, he talks about those who trust in Him will lack nothing because He is our shepherd. You know, in the Judean wilderness, I heard this from one of our guy who's doing this study on Israelite soil and other things. In the history, he says this: in the Judean wilderness, it's a lot of rocky beds. You don't have a lot of grass in that place, like how you see things in New Zealand. New Zealand, the beauty is wherever you go, you see this green blanket which has been spread around every single hill and places. The first time when I came here, I was like, can't take my eyes from that place. How beautiful it is! But in Israel, it's not the same. So when the shepherd is leading the flock, the sheep, how is he going to feed them? But God says you lack nothing. He's not going to take you to a place where you have stomach full and rest forever. But God wants you to continuously depend on Him. Because the breeze that comes in the evening or night will bring a moisture around the rocks in the corner, the rock bed, which will, the moisture helps to produce, you know, helps with the grasses to appear in the corners. So when the shepherd leads the sheep, they come and take a bite one at a time. They will not have a stomach full and sit there. They eat and they start following the shepherd for the next. They will let others to eat. It shows it's not about my need, it's about my God. It's about my God because He can provide for me. Because He is my good shepherd. All he wants in my life is the goodness, and that is what he has given me. But at times what people of Israelite misunderstood here is they forgot about what Moses spoke to Pharaoh. He said, you have to let this people go so that they can serve and worship the Lord. But people, because God kept on provided for them, providing for their needs, providing for their blessings, they misunderstood. They thought maybe God is there to serve them. At many times we have the struggle in our hearts. We are here to serve the Lord and worship Him. Not the other way around. Because that mindset will always be consuming from Him and not trusting and allowing what God wants to do in our life. God wants to change our heart to become like Jesus so that in us He'll be glorified. Amen? So we see that what's happening in that God providing that manna, providing that meal, time and again, God, what is saying is, come in dependence. Come in trusting me. Come with a heart of gratitude. As we come to New Testament, we can turn our Bibles to John chapter 6. Same thing happens. People, God does this miracle of feeding the 5,000. People were like, God, we want to keep following you. You keep providing for us miraculously, we'll keep eating. But God said, no. But what he wants them to learn is this. John chapter 6, verse 30 onwards. Oh, I'll read from 32. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. You know, Jesus says to his disciples, he says that you thought Moses is the one who given you the manna? It's God who's given the manna to your ancestors. But remember, the true manna only God can give. And that manna is the one who comes down from heaven. And that is Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. He is the bread of life. He is the manna. When we come to Him, we'll never go hungry. Those who believe in Him will never be thirsty. Come to Him, believe in Him. You know, when you come to the Lord, as you receive Him, the Lord and Savior, you need to repent. Come to Him and believe in Him. And when you repent, you receive Him. But these two go hand in hand. Because you cannot receive Him unless you repent, and you cannot repent unless you receive Him. Because when you receive, the Spirit of the Lord who comes inside you, renews you, and helps you to repent of your old ways and trust in Jesus. And He's the one who helps you to receive Him. So there's a big process that happens. Don't think that you have chosen God. God has chosen us. It's not that we have come and accepted Christ. Sorry to say, you need to be humble because we have received Him, because the salvation is the gift of the Lord. It is a gift that has been given to those people who do not deserve it. And we receive humbly so that we stand here as redeemed people. In John chapter 7, in the Feast of Tabernacle happens. The Feast of Tabernacle is a feast that they celebrate about what God has done in the wilderness, how God has provided the manna and the water and cared for them. And also it's a harvest festival. It's also called Feast of Booth, which is because they lived in tents, booths. And God being the provider, and God looked after them. So they celebrate the harvest that God has provided with joy, but also remembering what God has done in the past by looking after them in the wilderness and taking them to the promised land. And Jesus says in John chapter 7, and during the time of Feast of Tabernacles, he stands up and says, verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And you will be satisfied only when you drink from Jesus. And he is the fulfillment of that Feast of Tabernacles, because he is the bread of life that has been given for us. So come to him and surrender with a heart of gratitude. So one of the things is the Israelites have to collect, not one off. Every day they have to go and collect it. On the sixth day you collect for the next day, because if you try to collect for the next day, it's going to perish. They're going to be maggots. It's going to be spoiled. It's going to stink. But on the sixth day when you collect it, the next day it's not spoiled. And those who collected more or less, when they went and measured, it's all the same. You know, in Matthew's, when the disciples asked Jesus, how should we pray? And in that prayer, he says, give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread, day-to-day bread. Because in that continuous coming to him, there is something we learn. It is not by my strength, it is by the strength of the Lord. And he is my provider, he is my Lord, and I am his people. So when God tested them, they failed miserably. But God, in his grace, revealed his glory and provided for his people so that they can come, not with a heart of grumbling, with a heart of gratitude. So what does it say for us? How does it apply to us today? A dependence on God's provisions. As I was talking about Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, about the prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive our debts. As we also have forgiven our debtors, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And rest in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be nourished by Jesus. Because the scripture says in Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, you know, Moses reminds the people of Israelites, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So we have to come in trusting him. And his word is the food that can sustain us and can fulfill all our spiritual need so that we can depend on him. At the end, faith over grumbling. It is but to look. You know, Israelites complained, reminding us not to doubt God's faithfulness, but to live with gratitude. When we read Philippians chapter 4, 6 to 7, it says, do not be anxious in anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, give thanks to the Lord in all circumstances. They had a choice to come and pray and trusting in the wisdom of the Lord, but they grumbled. But what God taught them again and again, to trust Him and come with a heart of gratitude, because He is our provider. And it is a great lesson for us, a reminder for us. God, help me to come with a heart of gratitude and to trust You. Let's close our eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day, O Lord. Lord, we thank You for how You provided for the people of Israelites in that wilderness, O Lord. And today, through Your Son, Jesus Christ, You have provided what we need in our life, O Father. When we go hungry, we come to You. When we are thirsty, You quench our thirst, O Father. All we have to do is believe in You, trust in You. Father, at times when our hearts are proud, help us to humble ourselves. Because as we gather, we have to kneel down to collect those manna. As we come to You, help us to kneel down and trust in You, O Father. Because You are God, the Lord our God, and we are Your people. At times when the enemy tries to bring all the lies into our ears, we pray the Spirit of the Lord will remove that and help the people to come to Your word and listen to what You say to them, O Father. Help us to walk firmly in faith that You have called us to until You return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.